Okay, today we come to 2 Chronicles, chapter 27, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and Zadok was a famous priest. And so Jotham had a good grandfather, a good father, and a good man on his mother's side as well. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, except he did not enter the temple of the Lord, but the people still followed corrupt practices. Jotham was good, but idolatry was still being practiced in the land, and he didn't stop it. The people were not devoted to the Lord at this time. In verse 3, it says that he built the upper gate of the house of the Lord and did much building on the wall of Ophel. And so Jotham did repair work on the temple. He had respect for the one true God and the one true religion. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah and forts and towers on the wooded hills. He built forts to fight off any attackers. Verse 5, he fought with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the Ammonites gave him that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, 10,000 of barley. And the Ammonites paid him the same amount in the second and third year. And so he defeated the neighboring Ammonites. But instead of killing them, he made them pay tribute. Verse 6, so Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. And now you see the real reason why he had success. Things went well for him because he was loyal to God. 7, now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And of course there are more details about Jotham's life in the book of Kings, as there is the lives of many of these kings. Verse 8, he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He was 25 when he was officially crowned the king, but he had reigned for his father, who couldn't reign because of his leprosy before that. 9, and Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his place. And as we will see, Ahaz was evil, not at all like his father or his grandfather. Chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. Ahaz is also referred to as Jehoahaz. And I guess, you know, a terrible person is a terrible person, no matter what you call him. And this guy is one of the worst that the South ever had reign over them. Verse 2, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals. And now you see what made him so bad. Instead of following the word of God and the good kings that were before him, including his father and grandfather, he followed those who despised God and despised the word of God. Verse 3, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his sons as an offering, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. God kicked the previous people out of the Holy Land for their idolatry and because they sacrificed their children to a false god. He kicked them out, and he warned Israel not to do the same thing. Well, here Ahaz openly defies the Lord by doing the same thing. There were so many examples of God punishing idolatry in Israel's history. There just wasn't any excuse for any of this at all. There never is any excuse, but, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected, and this guy was sinning against an awful lot of truth that he had access to, but he just flat out rejected. Verse 4, and he sacrificed and made offerings on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. And so he deliberately did what God said, do not do. Well, is it any surprise? Verse 5, therefore the Lord his God gave him into the hand of the king of Syria, who defeated him and took captive a great number of his people and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hand of the king of Israel, who struck him with great force. Surprise, surprise, huh? Ahaz was a loser, just like all the wicked kings before him. He did not serve God, but God was still his God. God was still his God, because God is still everyone's God. He was his God who tried to wake Ahaz up by sending hard times. Verse 6, for Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 from Judah in one day, all of them men of valor, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. So it wasn't just Ahaz, but he had an evil influence on others in the country as well. 120,000 skilled soldiers were killed in one day because of this wicked king. Now think of that. It's the year 2007, almost 2008, as I record this program. Vietnam is still fresh in my mind, even though it was, you know, almost 40 years ago. It was 40 years ago. And it was about 50,000 American troops killed in all the years that the Vietnam War went on. 50,000 soldiers in all the years. 10 years, whatever it was. 120,000 in one day because of this wicked king. The question is sometimes asked today, does character matter in our leaders? Should we be concerned about character in the person that we vote for? Well, here's your answer right here. 7. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azarkim, the commander of the palace, and Elkanah, the next in authority to the king. Elkanah was sort of like a vice president to the king, and he is killed as well. And it says in verse 8 that the men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters, and they also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. What a horrible blow this was to the southern kingdom of Judah. In addition to 120,000 skilled soldiers killed in one day, 200,000 women, sons, and daughters taken from their homes and taken to the northern kingdom. And none of it had to be either. All this bad stemmed from the bad king, who thought he could give God the cold shoulder and get away with it, even though nobody else had in the history of Israel. Verse 9. But a prophet of the Lord was there in the north, where these captives from the south were being taken, whose name was Obed. And he sent out to meet the army that came to Samaria, and said to them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand, but you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. See, the north really wasn't any better than the south, spiritually. They had never been any good, since there was the split. But the north was allowed to defeat the south, God's way of punishing the south. However, they went too far in their victory. They were extremely vicious. They abused the victory that God gave them with a wholesale slaughter of Judah. And how about this courageous prophet Obed? I mean, he gets right in the face of this northern army, and he tells him off in the name of the Lord. 10. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? The north punished the south in a very cruel way. And they should remember that they themselves have plenty of sins, which they are accountable for. Verse 11, now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. They're warned. to release these captives and let them return to the south. They've gone too far. Certain chiefs also of the men of Ephraim, and I'm not going to name these names, but it says that they stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives here, for you propose, to bring upon us guilt against the Lord, in addition to our present sins and guilt, for our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." And so, surprisingly, there were still a few people in the north who had some spiritual brains. They said, "We're in enough trouble with God the way it is, so take those captives back." These people recognized, they still had enough spiritual sense to recognize that sin upon sin will bring wrath upon wrath from a God of justice. So they say, "Send these people back." 14. So the armed men led the captives and the spoil before the princes. He left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who have been mentioned by name rose and took the captives with the spoil. They clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them, and carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. The raiders accepted the warnings, and I've got to tell you, I'm surprised. But you know, that tells me that they had more spiritual sense than Ahaz in the south. And so they accepted the warnings, and those who spoke up cared for the needs of the captives and returned them home. 16. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help. Ahaz refused to repent, even though he had this trouble with the north. And so he knew he couldn't turn to God for help. And you know what? Actually, a foolish, hard heart like that wouldn't even be interested in God's help. He hates God too much. No matter how much he suffers, he won't turn to God for help because he just flat out hates God. And that's what sin does to a person's heart. 17. For the Edomites had again invaded and defeated Judah and carried away captives. And so while Israel was attacking from the north, Edom was attacking from the south. Ahaz thought he was special. Somehow, you know, the sin that brought punishment on every wicked king before him wouldn't affect him. "It won't happen to me. I'm different." There's so many people with his attitude today, and there always are people like that. But there are no exceptions, because God does not have favorites. 18, and the Philistines had made raids on the cities of the Shephelah and on the Negev of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, Soko with his villages, Timnah with his villages, Gimzil with his villages, and they settled there. Verse 19 says, "For the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had made Judah act sinfully and had been very unfaithful to the Lord." And so even the Philistines had successful military raids against Judah. The south is being picked apart like a vulture picks at a dead animal. Just picked apart from all enemies on every side, and even from Assyria, who he turned to for help instead of God. Look at verse 20. "So Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Ahaz asked for help, but instead of helping, the king of Assyria took advantage of Judah's weaknesses and attacked. Anything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong for wicked Ahaz." You think that's going to make him change? Look at verse 21. "For Ahaz took a portion from the house of the Lord and the house of the king and of the princes and gave tribute to the king of Assyria, but it did not help him." What an embarrassment. Ahaz tried to pay the king of Assyria to be friendly. tried to pay for him, tried to buy his friendship. But just as Ahaz defied the living God, so he is being defied and he is being insulted publicly by the nations around him. He can't even buy a friend. 22. In the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord, this same King Ahaz. And so instead of repenting, Ahaz, he just got worse. Verse 23. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus that had defeated him and said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Ahaz thought, well, if the God of Israel didn't help me and is not interested in helping me, then I'll just do more wickedness and worship the gods of Syria. I'll show God. What a fool. If he thinks that he's punishing God, he is wrong. He's only hurting himself. Don't get me wrong. God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would love Ahaz to repent and have his sins forgiven, and God would definitely show him mercy if he did. But God's day is not going to be ruined if Ahaz decides that he wants to continue to get worse and he wants to be punished even harder. I mean, that's not going to ruin God's day. It's not going to ruin anybody else's day in heaven either if Ahaz isn't there. He's only hurting himself. 24. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and he shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Ahaz is taking this battle against God to the next level. He shuts down all worship of the Lord. 25. In every city of Judah he made high places to make offerings to other gods, provoking the anger of the Lord, the God of his fathers. Ahaz made idolatry the official religion of the southern kingdom. So he just continues to be more and more insulting to God. 26. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways from first to last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of Jerusalem. For they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his place. The people would not allow the people of the south, even with all their flaws, you know, they would not allow the tombs of the good kings to be disgraced by the presence of the corpse of such a miserable sinner like Ahaz. So they didn't even bury him with the other kings. Ahaz, a prime example of a fool. He died with a hard heart. He lost his battle against God. You know, God didn't die and go to hell after the battle with Ahaz. Ahaz died. And I wouldn't bet on him being in heaven with God. He hated God. He would probably rather burn in hell forever than be with God. That's no kidding. I mean, that is how hard a heart can become because of sin. You would rather go and suffer in eternal torments than enjoy the bliss of heaven in the presence of God because you hate God that much. You think that that is going to hurt God? It's not going to ruin his eternity. And that may sound cold, callous, but it isn't. It's just a fact. God is very satisfied with himself. He doesn't need anyone or anything. He loves everyone. And he's not willing that any should perish, but he loves people enough to go with their own free will. And he's not going to allow his day to be ruined if somebody chooses hell. Hey, everybody has a choice, and he will honor it. And Ahaz made his choice. What a fool this guy was. And this is written for our example, for our learning, like the rest of the Old Testament. Next time, chapter 28. Until then, so long, everyone.